customer journey mapping, customer experience mapping is a tool that, again, a business can use, any size business can use to kind of target their specific, you know, group, their stratified mm-hmm. group, and identify what the experience, the typical experience is, and then put specific actions in place to course correct any negative connotations that an individual might have, but also to elevate, you know, where things might be in terms of feeling good about the experience. So it's all about, you know, what would make you feel better about making the experience, taking that anxiety away.
Hey, welcome to Leading Agile Sound Notes. This is our fourth in a series of four podcasts that started out talking about value stream mapping. We did three on that already. And now we're moving to like the graduate level. We're going to talk about journey mapping. And Mary is going to school us on journey mapping. So Mary Lloyd is here. Lance Kine is here. Flurry, the blisteringly fast dog, is here. You'll see a white thing jump across the screen on Mary's camera, and that will be Flurry. We did three podcasts on value stream mapping, three different ways of doing it, which we'd encourage you to check out. And this one's going to be all about journey mapping. But before we start, Lance, why don't you introduce yourself? Can you tell these people who you are?
Hi, I'm Lance Kine. I'm a technical agile coach, which means I usually coach developers, but you know, I coach all over the place. But yeah, that is my specialty, is working with development teams.
All right, cool. Thanks. And Mary, how do you describe what you do?
Yeah, I am. Well, my title is I'm a managing consultant and or strategic business architect, depending on what the client needs. And basically, I help solve customer problems.
All right. I am a certified Scrum trainer / coach / podcast guy. And Lance also has a podcast. You want to give a quick plug to your podcast, your side podcast?
Yeah. So if you have more agile greatness you're looking for, you can go to Agile Thoughts. You can search that up and you will find another podcast that's a weekly.
All right, cool. Thank you. So, Mary, what is journey mapping?
All right. I have a visual, of course, but let me start out just first by talking about the difference between value streams and customer journeys, since we're transitioning over. So we all shared in the last few podcasts kind of our experience working with value streams. And we found that depending on the situation, you may apply the concept of value streams differently, right? It might be to bring a team together to focus on how you can, as a team, add value. It might be as a way to identify operational excellence or performance improvement opportunities within the enterprise. It's very much an inside view of the organization. We're looking at how does the organization create value for the customer. So it's creating the value stream, understanding it, and with respect to the customer. With journey mapping, what we do is we shift that mindset completely, and it is a customer-focused view. We use journey mapping to define, you know, based on a particular set of customers, and we'll call those like personas. You'll hear that name in the industry. Based on a stratification of customers or a persona and a specific scenario, what is that customer's experience? So let me go ahead and see.
So this would be like a parallel, the same way that the user stories kind of flip the script on a traditional requirement. You're doing that for their whole experience of working with the brand or the product or whatever.
Absolutely. All right. Are you able to see the Miro now?
Yeah.
All right. Awesome. So this, again, want to give a shout out to Turtle Designs, the company that I'm taking this example from, because it's really excellent. Again, so the journey is all about a particular set of customers or a persona and the experience that they have. So what we capture when we do a journey map are the actions, which are basically what are the things that this customer group is experiencing, what do they do across the journey. We capture jobs to be done. Jobs to be done is basically what is the customer trying to solve for? I would advocate that a customer job to be done can be thought of as a product, because that is the value you're trying to bring for that specific customer. So this is where we capture, you know, and understand what are the jobs to be done.
So does that mean that if I go into a car dealership, that the entire experience is a product? Is that what you're saying?
In my opinion, I believe it is. Yeah, okay. It's part of that product experience. And again, I know we were talking a little bit outside of the video. You know, Apple was a great example that you gave, right? The packaging that Apple uses. That packaging and the experience the customer has with unwrapping that packaging is very much a part of their brand, how you want to feel. And I would say it's definitely a compliment to, because it's a compliment to every product, and it's part of their strategy for you to have that experience, if that makes sense.
Cool. Yeah.
Nice.
So again, actions, jobs to be done. This is a really great visual, so I just want to roll through it.
Yeah.
Pain points. So again, from the lens of the customer, specific customer group, we have this is how the journey is going. This is how my experience is occurring. These are the jobs I want to get done. What are the struggles or challenges that I'm having?
Yeah.
And based on those struggles or challenges, what opportunities does the company see? You know, how do we resolve those pain points? How do we further enhance and deliver a high quality customer experience based on the jobs to be done?
So if I stick with the, is it okay? I'm just going to keep interrupting you.
No, that's fine.
I was going to ask, but I know I'm not going to be able to stop myself. If I think about the one time I bought a car, I walked into that dealership with the mindset of I'm going to get screwed. Like, there's just no way to avoid that. These people are going to take me to the cleaners. I'm just going to do the best I can to survive this experience. And like the whole experience was awful because I just was expecting to get like screwed over and sold a lemon. And that would be a problem they could choose to solve, maybe.
Absolutely. And again, I would ask you, had you ever shopped at that dealership before?
I had never shopped for a car before, and I don't know anything about cars. So.
Okay. So it was based on what you heard from your friends that just the experience of buying a car is always negative. Yeah, they could absolutely change that. They could change it by offering, you know, a really robust warranty package as a part of your car purchase to give you, you know, to kind of deal with those emotions, which is great. Yeah. It's a great tie-in, because what we have here in the customer journey is, again, a kind of a visual representation of how the customer feels at that time in the journey. So, you know, this little guy right here, frustrated, scared, you know, that might have been Dave, right? Going in and, you know, and expecting to have a bad experience. But if you're met with a dealership that has done just even rudimentary thinking on, you know, what do our customers experience? What are those kind of internal feelings that they may be bringing to the table?
Yeah.
They can train their salespeople to address those concerns right away, at least acknowledge them, and then make sure that they're addressing those concerns, which is obviously going to create a more more positive customer experience, and probably will increase the likelihood you'll purchase a car from them.
So, like, in the same way that if I go to the dentist now, I'm sitting in some chair watching like hours of HGTV while they anesthetize my soul and drill through my head.
Yes, exactly.
Right? How did you feel about that, Dave?
Yes.
Well, I go in feeling bad, but it kind of like they're trying to like lull me into submission while they.
I love your interpretation, Dave.
I don't like the dentist.
This is about Dave's negative customer experience.
Yeah, I'll try to ease up a little bit. Okay, I'll be quiet now.
Well, that's all right.
No, please don't be quiet, because your examples are perfect. You guys both said that you didn't have any experience, when in actuality, you all have experience. We all have experiences because we're all customers.
Yeah.
So we know that we have good experiences. We know that we have bad experiences. Those are, you know, to the core. We can definitely tell our friends and family about that. Customer journey mapping, customer experience mapping is a tool that, again, a business can use, any size business can use, to kind of target their specific, you know, group, their stratified group, and identify what the experience, the typical experience is, and then put specific actions in place to course correct any negative connotations that an individual might have, but also to elevate, you know, where things might be in terms of feeling good about the experience. So again, like a warranty coverage or a three oil change package, a free oil change package is part of the, you know, those add-ons. It's all about, you know, what would make you feel better about making the experience, taking that anxiety away.
So would you be doing this? You wouldn't just be doing this in a room by yourself. You'd be with the customers or.
Absolutely. Absolutely. A really great idea or a really great approach to doing this is getting a small group of, again, those customers that fit that persona and creating focus groups and talking to them about a specific scenario and getting, you know, eliciting that customer feedback. You can also inform customer journeys based on survey feedback. I know every time I purchase something, I usually get three or four surveys asking me about that experience. And a lot of times it's different phases of the experience, right? How did you feel about this? Were you taking care of this? How do you feel about this? Because getting people together, especially nowadays post-COVID, sometimes is difficult. So people are more willing to do kind of that async feedback on different aspects of that journey. And so you can at least get somewhat of an objective perspective from survey data as well.
Cool. So this is kind of like a time-based empathy map?
I think that's a great way to think about it. Yeah, okay. I think that's a great way to think about it. And then we have the future state down here. And then with this particular model, again, from Turtle Design, they actually have a place for concepts, and they have different wireframes down here, mock-ups of wireframes on how they might make system changes in the future state to address the pain points. And again, evolve or improve, elevate that customer experience.
I interrupted you, Lance.
No, I'm sorry. Well, so here's a one way of looking at it. It's like a value stream, but it has the customer empathy parts in it so that you can address that. Because if customers don't like buying your products, they're not going to buy your products. Even if it's a great product, they don't have a good experience. Fewer of them will want to buy.
So if you find a problem area, how are you tackling that problem? Is it like a design thinking kind of approach, or like what are you?
Absolutely. So customer experience journey mapping, it's one of the tools that you'll find heavily used in what we like to call product-driven organizations, right? If an organization wants to change to be product-driven, the very first thing they're doing is they're understanding their customer. Because the customer experience and the design, the changes for a particular product are all going to be based on that experience now and what we want as an organization that experience to be. And it's about putting the right structure, governance, and metrics in place so that we can get objective data from the customer experience to feed into our product strategy.
Okay.
That makes sense?
I think it does. Well, yeah. So it'll be good.
Yeah. So, because making a product-driven organization isn't something you can just say, "Yeah, I'm going to make a product-driven organization, and we're going to keep kind of doing things the way we do." If you're not looking at your products more holistically, you're going to miss a bunch of key points. And if you want a quick metaphor, think about Dave's used car dealership, where people just go in there and they argue and debate over the price, and some people kind of like that, and a lot of people don't. And then you have the AutoNation model, where you show up, it's all a fixed price, there's no haggling. You just and they give you a warranty. They usually sell cars that they can sell with warranties. So yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, I mean, again, customer having a customer centric approach is just one of, you know, six kind of typical characteristics that we look for in a product-driven organization. I'm sure we could talk about that. You probably already had conversations with that with other members of LA, Dave.
Yeah. But,
you know, just really essential to have to be customer centric and to have the customer informed, because as Lance said, they're the one buying the product. And if they are not happy, you're probably not going to make more sales and you're not going to be able to expand your market.
Okay. So I'm assuming based on what you said that there are some cases where this is super valuable and people will be happy to be engaged with it. Other places where not so much. Like I'm thinking of the guys I worked with at Fort Sill that built targeting systems for rocket launchers. They don't even have contact with their customers. But this doesn't matter to them at all because the government said build it, they just build it and send it out.
Right. But their customers probably have specific requirements, right, in terms of precision and standards and specifications. Yeah.
But they're not worried about the feelings of the people.
What would you call it? It's like a convention at a country where they show off the military goods and people go, they have buyers show up and buy things.
Yeah. So, okay. So, but those people coming to that kind of event, you would want to worry about their experience.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Because, well, so I've been to such an event. I was in India, and India is like, if you go to an air show in the US, you just see United States products with their supply chains. But if you go to India, you'll see multiple different countries trying to, they have like, it's just like, not as big as CES, but it's like CES. They have people there, shiny things. They have beautiful people to display things. They have tough looking people to look like the product. Is, you know, all of those things are happening. It's really quite interesting.
Right. And you could apply this anywhere.
I think absolutely. And definitely elements of it. I think you were right on in terms of the customer journey or customer experience map is a specific tool that has very practical applications in certain situations. But then elements of the customer journey map, like pain points, like just customer jobs to be done, is a fundamental marketing concept, right? We need to understand what problem we're trying to solve for the customer before we even think about products. So even in the you know, the scenario that you provided there, Dave, we're talking about, you know, big airlines or airplanes or spaceships or whatever. There are specific jobs to be done, and we have to figure out a way. The company needs to figure out a way to make sure that they are 100% satisfying those jobs to be done. And probably in that scenario, because there are very few competitors, they really have to add other add-ons to the experience, right? It can't just be here's your thing. It has to be here's this and here's what we're going to, again, provide in terms of your support, maintenance, checks, you know, whatever it is to really elevate that experience.
Okay.
And they may be like their customer journey map could be significantly different. Maybe it's a RFP, we're going to look for proposals from the government, but then at some point there is a customer interaction that's going to happen. Like there's going to be a phone call or a meeting, and they want to have the right artifacts together that they maybe prep the meeting with. And then they carry the meeting in a way that is successful for whatever type of clientele that's they're talking to.
Okay. And I'm assuming that you can kind of segment the problem, to target. Well, I'm trying to think of better examples, but there's one that's stuck in my head that I probably shouldn't use. I'm just going to use it anyway. So I grew up, I went to Catholic school. You go to church on Sunday, you go in, dip your hand in the holy water, sit in the pew, try to stay awake for an hour. But when we moved to Oklahoma, we went to the church that my wife's family went to, and you would go in, it was like a big coffee bar, and they're blasting rock music, and everybody's got cool t-shirts, and they're just trying to do whatever they can to get the people into the space.
Yeah.
Right. Totally but different experience, still, right?
Yeah, the larger problem of running the business and getting enough tithing and all the other stuff, but you could pick a problem and create a value stream map just for that segment of the problem, right?
Yeah,
oh, sorry, absolutely. A journey map.
If you want to do the segment.
Absolutely.
But I think it, I again, this goes back to my principle of the start and the end should be somehow represented in a customer experience map as well. I don't know, Mary, you can just jump in, but it wouldn't be just a small, if you don't look at it holistically, you're going to miss some problems. Maybe your difficulty, maybe the situation's difficulty, the pain point is a specific item. And sure, yeah, you can cover that in more detail. But
yeah.
if you fix one part of the chain, but you didn't like fix the input funnel that gets the customer
in the
door. I'm
thinking we fix the other parts later, but if our biggest problem is just getting people in the room, how do we get them in the room?
Right.
Then we'll figure the other parts out.
Yeah. And I actually really like your example because in my opinion, the problem to be solved for both churches, right, is the same. We want to get people to be a part, to be engaged, to be willing to tithe, to support the work that needs to be done. What they've done is they've created two separate experiences.
Yes.
One based on kind of a lot of tradition and ritual.
Guilt and fear.
Guilt and fear. The other really, like, let's make it fun to come to church. So people
lower
want
the stakes.
To come to church. So people feel comfortable with one another. So they can get coffee and donuts. I mean, that was my favorite church when I lived in Tallahassee, Wildwood Presbyterian. Shout out to Wildwood Presbyterian Church in Tallahassee, Florida, because what an excellent experience in terms of becoming part of a family and wanting to go to church and getting your kids to want to go to church.
Yeah, get the kids to want to go to church because they get free potato chips.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. So when would you create this? Is this like before anything is built? We create it like as an aspirational thing, or we look at what we have and do it? How does it?
I think you can use it whenever it's appropriate. I mean, definitely when you're looking at a particular area and where you think there is an opportunity, right, to solve some customer problems, that would give you your first indication. And then you'd go and you'd, you know, create your baseline customer journey and find out what that information gives you. And that might point you in a different direction, right? You may not even invest beyond that because the experience is okay. And there aren't any opportunities there to really elevate the revenue that you get across that particular scenario. It also might lead you to like product discovery, right? Where they're having this problem, and a really great example of that is we'll just say the healthcare industry and what happened with COVID and having to be shut down and not, you will see a number of different industries that are now all about creating a virtual or a digital experience that kind of mirrors or mimics that on-site on-prem experience.
Yeah.
That may not have been something that was kind of at the forefront before COVID. It definitely is now. And they can use this technique to help inform the features that they would want in those kind of products.
Okay. And if it's online, you're getting all the data about usage and time and everything anyway. So it can help you work through your own biases, I'm guessing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Cool. I know this was so simple, I feel like, because simple in that it's the mirror image of the value stream map, but it just, they would highlight all the problems, help you see where to fix them.
Yep.
What are we missing? Is there anything about it that we haven't hit on?
I'd like to add in the frequency of visiting your customer experience map is, there's a book called Continuous Discovery by Teresa Torres, which is essentially part of the process is to have a customer experience map. And part of the process is to have discussions with people about the customer experience maps with customers, with internal people, et cetera. And so the idea of continuous is you don't just do it once and put it away. You're always doing this on a regular basis, whatever that means to you. And it could, you know, might not, it's probably not daily, but it could be if you're really something you're trying to get to the bottom of. But you know, the main thing is you keep doing it because you're going to keep learning and you're going to keep improving your product.
100%.
And
so if you're a product owner, I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, you go ahead. You go ahead.
If you're a product owner, right, Lance, these are tools in the toolkit for a product owner. So if you are a product owner, you have the responsibility for growing that product, creating that product strategy. You're not going to do it unless you understand your customers and your markets. That's something that we always talk about at LA, our customers and our markets. And to do that, you need to understand all of the different ways in which your market uses your customer, uses your product, And in using that product, what kind of experience are we having? Because that should be direct input to how you as the product owner steer your team to making the product changes, enhancements, even retiring some features if they're not worth it and maybe they're costing too much. So it's kind of essential.
And I would imagine the frequency with which people go through the experience is also going to impact all of this as well. Like the first time I go to a sushi place and they give me the hot, moist towel to like, you know, clean up with, like, that's like, oh my gosh, this is fancy. And then the next time you're like, where's my towel? You know, some of it loses its spark.
It absolutely could. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, there's a product name for this and I've spaced it. It's about where you... There's a graph, the four box graph, and there's the customer delight. If it happens enough, it becomes a kind of a required level of
requirement. Absolutely. An expectation. Absolutely.
Is there anything we haven't touched on that people should know about this stuff?
I don't think so. I mean, there is a lot we could talk about, you know, again, just in terms of product driven, but you've already had several, podcasts that talk about those different areas. Is just really essential to anyone.
Just an idea. What if we boil it down to some roles? So, because like in these larger governance model scale agile frameworks, there's a lot more people involved in product ownership than say a startup company with a product owner. Shall we go step into that soup?
Who would be a part of creating the whole thing and looking at the whole thing, other than obviously someone in a PO role and customers or people to speak on their behalf?
Well, there's the product manager who's looking at the strategic level and the product owner who's looking at the day-to-day, what do we need to do on this delivery team to work towards our goal? So if I was to take a stab at that, again, if you're working in a scaled agile framework, then it sounds like product manager is going to be the one who's busy thinking about continuous discovery and working with experience, customer journey or customer experience maps, and then communicating that across, number one, working with customers or potential customers or failed buyers to see what happened in that customer experience, and then reflecting that content back into the organization about, well, these are the things we learned. We think this will solve some of these problems, collecting the evidence of what will solve those problems. Right. And then implementing the evidence, it becomes more of the product owner's role of, okay, we got epics. We have some big stories. The product owner now has spent effort being on the same page with the product manager enough to understand what the problems they're trying to solve or what the opportunities they want to go after, and then can reflect that down to the team.
Okay.
Yeah. And so when the team has questions, go ahead.
Yeah. And I would just I totally agree with what you're saying, Lance. I would just clarify or qualify it a little bit, because we've all worked with clients that call roles different names.
Different things.
But they're the same thing. So when we say product manager or product owner, you know, there needs to be someone who's in charge of it strategically. At some organizations, that might be a product manager. At others, it might be a product owner. It might be a chief product officer. You know, just be careful, like we said before, because words matter. We need to make sure everybody in the company has the right operational definition and understands what is this role responsible for, so everybody can work together. So that would just be one thing I would want to qualify.
Cool. So when they get started doing this, then it might be good to have just a quick level set on who's playing what part.
Who's on first. Like absolutely.
That. Okay. Yeah. Cool. All right. Well, Mary, if people want to get in touch with you with more questions, what's the best way to reach you?
Please feel free to reach out to me through my LA address. It's in the guides area on our website. We'll put the information, my information on this video as well. And then LinkedIn as well. I'm out in LinkedIn. Cool. Would be happy to talk with anyone.
All right. We'll make sure we have links in the show notes for all of it. And Lance, what about you?
Yeah, you can email me at lance.kind@leadingagile.com. Or tweet me using Bird Talk at AgileThoughts1, and you will find me there in the Bird Talk world.
Whatever that is. All right. And you can just find me on LinkedIn or on Leading Agile site. So we appreciate y'all watching. If you've enjoyed this, please leave some comments in the show notes. And if you haven't checked out the other three videos, I'd highly encourage you to do that. So there will be links to those in the show notes as well. But thank you both for taking time for this. I'm going to make my dentist watch this video. Oh, there you go.
Absolutely. Well, good luck with that.
Yeah.
Cheers.
Thanks. See you.
See you.